The Word of God, the Bible, is the central source of our coming together today, our fellowship with one another, the singing of the choir, the ushers working, the fans going. That's all a part of worship, but the most important part of worship is where we open up our Bibles and listen to God speak to us. Something that I found out about this group called the church, the believers, we are a unique group of people made up of different personalities, different likes and dislikes. We eat different foods. We dress differently. Some of us speak differently. We are on a different educational level. But there's one thing that ties us in together. And that one thing is that all believers have been born again by that same Spirit of Christ. And that's why we're all found and kept in this one family of God. And in my daily reading of the scriptures, whether it be my own personal time of meditation or the time of study while I'm reading over something for a school assignment, I find that the Bible offers me personally hundreds and hundreds of ideas that I can adapt myself to make me a better person for Christ, a better person for the individual that's not a Christian in my community. And all these hundreds of things that I see in the Word of God, this past week, I saw three things that the Bible gives me, found in our text taken from Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And these three things in verse 4, I believe, need a great explanation. I don't want you to look at verse 4 and look at the three things and say, oh, John is going to talk about patience and comfort and hope. No, I'm not. Not exactly. We have to look deeper than that, because when we look to our Bible, and I say that we can get hundreds of things every week that God is telling us in our Bibles, it is important for the young Christian as well as the older Christian to understand that God is speaking to you about, number one, things that are currently going on within your body, the church. Number two, how ought I respond in light of these things that are going on in my church, the body. And number three, what is going to be the outcome of my response? Now, it seems like I'm talking about a lot of things and flooding your mind. Well, that's all in the game plan this morning, because since the Lord has sent, they tell me, 101 degrees of heat, since we don't have air conditioning in this building, quite naturally, the thing that comes next is the sleep syndrome. It's kind of shaded in here. It's kind of cool. The lights are kind of low. And Johnny Jones, tell me about it. It's easy to listen to John just rabble on and on and on and on, and my head kind of gets next to my shoulder here, and I get real comfortable, and the next thing you know, You listening all right? Amen, preacher. Amen. You know, I'm just resting my eyes, preacher. That's all. Amen. Well, listen, I want to keep I hope you all want to stay awake. You all want to stay awake this morning? Amen. So during this sermon, if you feel like you're going to go to sleep, I want you to just say, amen, Pastor. Amen. And we'll know that you're fighting that old demon called sleep. It's trying to come in. Amen. Listen, the modern cry today is for a new book. The cry today is for a new book, a new understanding. We have new wave ideas, new wave music. We have new wave relationships. And now, even in the church, they want a new wave book. The three things that I get out of the Bible are some things that the Apostle Paul shows me that we need in light of why he was writing. So we don't need any new wave ideas. We don't need any new sensationalism. I always believe that strong men are made stronger by the food that they eat. Now, when you go home tonight and you feed them kids, Sister Louise, you can't give them no popcorn for dinner. You got to give them some strong food. You got to put some spinach down there, some rice, some potatoes, some orange juice, some milk. And Tom will say, eat everything on that plate. That'll make them strong. And in the very same sense, we need strong food. We don't need, Percy, a new book. We don't need a new wave of idealism. We don't need a new kind of easy type religion. We need many things, but here this morning we're going to see three things that the Bible gives us. History tells me that great wisdom is found in storehouses of knowledge. And what greater storehouse of knowledge is there for the believer, Queen, outside of the Bible? There is none. You're not going to find any greater proof. You're not going to find any greater food than in the blessed Word of God. That's what I find. But let's go to our text. What is Romans 15 all about? Well, I'm going to let you know. It's very easy. Look at verse 1. We then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. What is Romans 15 all about? You have your Bible. I'm going to challenge you to stay awake. Go to chapter 14 and read verse 1. It says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful dispensations. In other words, Paul is saying, do you want to know why I'm saying chapter 15? Look at chapter 14. Don't pass judgment on others because of their opinions. Do not give to that weak saint any doubtful or disputes. This holds a term as a judge. Don't judge your brother. If you are strong as you say you are, stop judging him. As a matter of fact, Paul is saying in chapter 14, accept your Christian brother and sister just like they are. Uh-oh. But they're not like me. Paul is saying, yes. Accept them just the way they are. Yeah, but I think I'm more like Christ. Oh, so you strong in the faith. Yes, well, stop judging. See, now that's difficult. That's difficult here. See, that was difficult for the Roman church, and that's difficult for the Olivet Baptist church. He's also saying, don't hurt your brother. Look at verse 13 of chapter 14. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. So he's saying, you stop judging your brother and your sister. You stop with your high looks, looking down low at them. You stop saying, well, who do they think they are? They don't, in my appraisal, meet the standard. Paul is saying, stop judging like that. Because he says in our text in verse 1, we then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. And of course, we understand in Romans chapter 14, Paul was saying that certain Christians didn't want to eat certain kinds of food because they were superstitious about that. And certain other Christians were casting down on them because they didn't do what they did. Paul says, you all cut that out. But in essence, you're supposed to build one another up. So, Pastor Cole, what three things do you get out of this text that you can share with us this morning in light of what's going on in the text? Before I tell you this, let me tell you this. Never go to your Bible and choose one scripture and try to get a meaning unless you do what? A contextual study. Go to other chapters before and after to see what the writer is talking about, or you're going to be confused. If I just arbitrarily start telling you about these three things that I get out of the Bible, the first thing that you should ask is, Pastor, why did Paul say what he said? There were difficulties going on. There was judgment taking place on one brother, on another brother, one sister, on another sister, and Paul was correcting that kind of judgment. And if any of you sit here and say, oh, that kind of judgment doesn't go on in all of it, you're a lie. Does go on. Pastor knows it goes on. I can tell it goes on by the way some of you talk to me about somebody else in this church. What are they all about, Pastor? Geez, that sounds like a judgmental question to me. Why don't you ask them what they're all about? They tell you what they're all about. But you that are strong are to pray for the weak. See, now, that takes, John, some act on your part. That takes some guts, Brother Moaning. See, Because you're not concerned about trying to find out what Sister Brady's all about. You're supposed to pray for Sister Brady. Are you supposed to go by and take a casserole to Sister Brady's house? Are you supposed to go by and iron up her clothes, mop her floor? Yes, sir. Oh, not me. What three things do I get out of the Bible? Well, let's further investigate what Paul said. Look at verse 4 in our text. Now, let's bounce up to verse 3, because you can't understand verse 4 until you go to verse 3. I'm doing this because it's warm. I want to keep you awake. You cannot understand verse 4 unless you understand verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. Now, he's trying to say to the Christians, you stop trying to please yourself. You please your brother and sister. You see the tie-in here? See, he says, you that are strong, stop trying to please yourself and please that brother or sister that you don't understand. That may not be living the way you think they're living. Isn't correct. You stop trying to feel good about you and take Christ as the example. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, and you can go to Psalm chapter 69 and verse 9 and see where that's written. You see, whenever Paul says, as it is written, he's not making up anything. It's there. As it is written in the Psalms, so Paul is showing you some things that he gets out of the Scriptures. Notice where he's building his argument on. His argument is not built on his idea. His argument is built on what he got from David, what David said about Christ in Psalms 69 and 9. Therefore, it says that it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Christ was saying through the prophetic word of David, I took the reproaches of all sinners. Why won't you take the reproaches of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Why won't you take some of the problems that they have and deal with them in the correct manner instead of being judges? Why won't we do that? I'm going to tell you why we won't do that, because we feel superior more than Paul was talking about. And listen, let me tell you this, that in verse 15, Paul was not saying that they were spiritual. He was saying that they thought they were. So he says, since you say you're so spiritual, we then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to become judges of those that are weaker. Let me say this, that if any man, woman, boy, or girl in Christ, in his church, makes an A every day of their spiritual lives, I've never met them. I've never met them. And if you think that you're that strong that you make an A every time you strike out, well then, Paul isn't talking to you, because you're above all of us. So let's see these three things that we get out of the Bible. What three things do I get out of it? Now I come to the sum of the text. I hope that you all understand what I'm trying to get you to see. Paul was saying, if you're strong, take Christ as the example. He bore the reproaches of them that he died for. How about you? What are you going to bear? Are you going to bear the reproach of a weaker saint? Or are you going to become a judge? Are you going to become a spiritual looky-loo? Always looking, but not willing to do anything. That happens all the time. It happens in the church. When I was a young Christian in this church, I viewed it. I saw it all the time. A saint would fall in a particular area. A saint would be in trouble with the pastor or something. And instead of us trying to get on our knees and pray, trying to edify and build up and encourage and everything, we ask the wrong kind of questions. We respond in the wrong kind of way. So what three things do I get from my Bible, from verse 4? For whatsoever things were written aforetime, and Paul is talking about Psalm 69 and 9. See what I'm talking about? He has to go back to the verse that he just quoted from, as it is written. So then he says, Paul says, this is what I get out of my Bible. He says, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The first thing that the Bible gives me is instruction. Instructions. You know, you thought I was going to say patience. No. We'll get into that. In the original language, the word is not patience, anyhow. Because, see, when we think of patience, yes, Pastor, I've got to be patient with them. Doesn't mean that at all.
But let's see.
I say that the first thing that I get out of God's gift of light to a darkened world is instruction. A man without an instructor is doomed if he's saved. Every Christian needs an instructor. And I'm not talking about you need me as your instructor. I'm talking about the instructor, Sister Tammy, that I need is the same one that you need. That God has to be my instructor. Every man needs one. If you have come so high in your Christian life that you don't need an instructor to instruct you from heaven, you are beyond this place. Now, what am I talking about? I'll go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2 and verses 15 and 17. I see that Adam needed an instructor. I had these little marks in my Bible so it wouldn't take me long to get there. Adam needed instruction. When I go to the text right here, I read it. It says, whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning. In the original language, that term learning means instruction. That's what we get when we go to the Bible. We need instruction. Adam needed it. Look at verses 15 through 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded, that's instruction, commanded the man saying, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou doest eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam had some instruction. Dress the garden, don't eat this fruit. We need the same kind of instruction from God. If Adam needed it, why don't we take it? Why isn't it that when the Holy Spirit is working with us Christians, we deny his instruction? Why is it that when God is talking to you, not only through the pastor, but through that spouse that you live with, that husband or that wife, or through that child that has come to Christ, why don't you listen? Why don't you take the instruction? I'll tell you why you won't take the instruction. Because you are allowing your nature to get in the way of spiritual growth and spiritual development. I also see that Moses needed instruction in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. It says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. God is talking to Moses here. That thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses needed instruction from God. Every person in the Bible that God wanted them to do something had to take instruction. Today, it's my premise by saying that we as Christians have all the evidence, as I stated earlier in Sunday school, and we take less instruction than any of the patriarchs. And we ought to be ashamed of that. We have more evidence than any of these people that lived before us, and we are the last to listen. Look at verse 12 of Exodus chapter 10. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth my people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain, Mount Sinai there. And you can find that in Acts 7 and 7 and Exodus 19 and 2 for your own further research. God had to instruct Moses what to tell Pharaoh, where to bring the children of Israel for worship, and we need that same kind of instruction. Peter needed to be instructed as he went to Cornelius' house. Paul needed to be instructed as he was not blind on the road to Damascus. You need instruction in the 20th century church because some of us are doing as Paul admonished them not to do. Don't hurt your brother. Build up your brother and sister. We need to be instructed in that area. But some of these things that the Bible is trying to give us, we won't take. How do we respond? I'm going to let you know how we respond. Whenever you hear of, let's talk about scandal in another church, instead of you as a believer praying about that, trying to find out a way to make the situation harmonious, to make it cohesive, to make that thing something that Christ could be proud of, what is the first thing you do? You get on the phone, call your best buddy or your best sweetheart, and you talk about, let me tell you what I heard was going on over there. Now, first of all, let's do some deduction here. Are those God's people? Well, yes. Well, how are you? Well, how are you trying to help them? Are you stronger than them? Yes. Well, are you hurting them or helping them by what you're saying over the phone? Well, no. You're hurting them. So therefore, what are you doing talking that kind of stuff on the phone? What are you doing even gossiping about a situation? Why don't you try to help? That's why it says in Romans chapter 14, to him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Don't pass judgment on him. Receive him. Don't become the judge in his life. I'm the judge and my friend is the jury, and we're going to talk about it all we want. And then we're going to go over there to see if it's true. And then you're going to go over there and sit just like judges, looking, hypocritical. What Paul is saying is that you that are strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. I'm asking you to do that. I'm asking you to start doing that from this day one in this church. Bear the infirmities of the weak. If God instructed Adam and Moses and Peter and Paul and James and all of the apostles, why won't we allow him to instruct us right now? Well, I'll tell you why, Pastor John. Because you're making me feel guilty about my communication in the past 2 or 3 weeks. Well, I'm not making you feel anything. If you were innocent, you shouldn't feel guilty. If you didn't do stuff like that, you wouldn't feel guilty. But if you feel guilty, cut it out. Take the instruction from the Lord. If Paul says, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for my instruction, I am to take this kind of instruction. That's a very good question, Pastor, that you pose. How do I yield to God? I'll tell you. First of all, you have to recognize that you have a need to be instructed. You're never going to be instructed unless you come to grips with what you need. If you remain the same kind of Christian you are today, 10 years from now, guess how many people might come to Christ? Nobody. Because once you set yourself up as a judge in matters where you call yourself spiritually mature, and you cannot release yourself from that, God is not going to be able to use you. Now, let's go on to the second thing that the Bible gives me that I see in verse 4. And the second thing that the Bible gives me is endurance.